First Samuel chapter 20. First Samuel chapter 20. Now I'm just going to be very practical tonight. I'm not going to make any pretense about this being a deep. This I got home in time to shave. My wife was fixing her hair to come over here, and I was shaving, and I said, this may be the most anemic message I've ever preached at Faith Baptist Church. She's doing her hair. She said, I doubt it. Second most anemic message. Oh, honesty, amen. But anyway, I'm not going to try to put on a show or any kind of thing tonight. I'm flagging here tonight because of the events of yesterday and today, and I did not want to cancel on Brother Harrison. And I'm flagging, but I'm just going to share my heart with you, be very, very practical. Look here at this passage. Let's stand together. First three verses of this chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 20. And we'll read responsibly. Please join me on verse 2. And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, what have I done? What is mine iniquity and what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life? And he said unto him, God forbid, thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so. And David sware moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. Let's pray together. Our Father, bless our thoughts tonight, please. Holy Spirit of God, thank you for being here already. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Savior, who died, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Holy Spirit of God, open people's eyes to that. Help them to see that truth and reality before it's too late. May they place their trust in a living Savior and be saved. Bring comfort to our hearts tonight. And bring help during these moments, these times. We'll thank you for it. Bless the song and the message to follow in Christ's name. And amen. Thank you. Be seated. series. I want you to look at that text there at the end of verse number 3, where David told Jonathan, his covenant friend, "But truly as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." Let me talk to you for just a little while tonight on the subject, living one step from death. Living one step from death. That's reality, folks. Nobody in this room invincible. None of us. And we need to learn how to live one step from death. Let's pray together. Dear Father, thank you for the opportunity to speak to the people tonight. I love being with these folks. I look out as I did this morning and tonight and love them in my heart during the song service, during the times when we're here on the platform. Dear Lord, we just never know when there'll be one less person here, as happened with Patty, how we loved her, and thank you for allowing us to have her here for all these years. Truly, we'll miss her. I just pray, dear Lord, that we'd all learn great lessons from this event. Speak to our hearts tonight. Help me, I pray. And we'll thank you in advance for being with us. In Jesus' name, and amen. David was under attack from King Saul. Saul was filled with jealousy and in a rage. He had attempted to kill David on 3 different occasions prior to this chapter. And David asked his covenant friend, Jonathan, in verse number 1, he said, what have I done? What sin have I committed against God? What sin have I committed against your father that he wants to kill me? What have I done? Jonathan's response in verse number 2 was, God forbid. He said, David, you're misinterpreting my dad. Now, I don't know how having a javelin hurled at you could be misinterpreted. But he said, basically that's what he said. He said, no, he said, my dad's not in for that. In fact, that won't happen without him talking to me first and telling me about it. And he'll share with me his intentions and his plans. And no, look what he said at the end of the verse. It is not so. That's not true. And David swore to him. And he said, Jonathan, he said, the problem is your dad knows that you and I are covenant friends. Your dad knows that I have found grace in your sight, so he's not about to tell you anything that he has in store for me. He was right. And David said, you don't understand the peril I'm in. There is but a step between me and death. You don't know how serious this is. There's but a step between me and death. Folks, that's not much space between life and death, is it? A step. One step. The Bible warns us about being overconfident as far as tomorrow goes. Proverbs 27:1 says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Surely we saw the reality of that yesterday. How quickly we can pass from this life to the next. We need to live, I don't mean with dooms, thoughts of death and doom on our mind. I'll say more about that in just a minute. But I tell you what, we need to live in the reality of the fact that we're one step from eternity. That's all we are. One step from eternity. Now, because of that truth, let me give you 4 suggestions tonight that I hope will be a help to every family and every household in this room. Number 1, never leave your spouse without saying goodbye. Never leave your spouse without saying goodbye. You may not be able to personally speak to all the kids when you're in a hurry to rush off to work. Maybe the time of the morning you leave for work prevents you from, maybe the kids wouldn't appreciate you waking them up at 5 a.m. Hey, I just wanted to wake you up and tell you goodbye. But you can always certainly say goodbye to your spouse. Always. My wife's not a morning person. Now, she's not lazy. She doesn't lay around in bed, but it's easy for her to stay up at night. Not me. I like to go to bed at a decent hour and get up. I love getting up early. Oh, I love it in the morning. She's just the opposite. Isn't that how it is? And but when I leave the house at 5 o'clock on Thursday, she gets woke up. She gets, I don't know what the proper term is. She gets resurrected, amen. And I tell her goodbye. Never leave your spouse without saying goodbye. You say it's just a trip to the store. That's what Patty was doing yesterday. Going to the store. It's just a run to fill up at the Shell station. I know. I'll be back in 5 minutes. Are you sure? Nobody knows that for sure. And we certainly do not live in fear. We don't live paranoid. We don't live in a state of pessimism or doom and gloom. But the reality is, we may not make it home. And I don't think every wife needs to live in fear tomorrow when your husband goes off to work. He's not coming back. He's not coming back. I don't mean live like that. We anticipate coming home. And there's nothing like coming home. I'm not suggesting we say, honey, I might not get home, so goodbye. I'm not saying that. Not suggesting that at all. But I am saying you ought to speak to your spouse. And you ought to leave them with a goodbye. My wife has a sign on a board in our kitchen that says, always kiss me goodbye. It's conveniently placed by the door. Now, I don't have to have a reminder to kiss my wife. Most of the time. But if I get in a hurry and I'm rushing, more than once my eye has caught that sign and I've turned around and gone back in wherever she is, downstairs, upstairs, wherever. And she's usually waiting. And I say goodbye and give her a kiss. Never leave your spouse without saying goodbye. I mean that. I mean tomorrow, I mean the next day. I mean if it's a trip to the store or your trip to work, you tell your spouse goodbye. Number two, life is too fragile to carry a wounded spirit. Life is too fragile to carry a wounded spirit. One of the most devastating and unfortunately one of the easiest things to live with is a wounded spirit. Everybody in this room from side to side, front to back, is a candidate to be wounded. I don't mean physically, but I mean in here. Everybody. I would imagine that most everybody in this room has been wounded at one time or the other. And usually it's not necessarily just a situation, but a person who wounds us. It might be a particular event, but that event is attached to a person. And there's a wound inside. You get wounded. A wound has to heal. It takes time for a wound to heal. What do you do with a wound? I'm talking about a physical wound. What do you do with a wound physically? Well, what I do if it's a wound that I need to tend to is I put peroxide on it. Hydrogen peroxide. I do that to clean it. One of the first things you want to do if you get wounded is to make sure your heart is clear and clean in the matter. Ask God to examine you. Ask the Holy Spirit of God to search your heart. Lord, is there some sin I need to confess? Is there something I need to make right? So you get the matter cleared up in your heart. And after I've put some peroxide on that wound, the next thing I do is I put some salve on it, especially at night. I put some salve on it and hopefully, through the night, that salve heals it as it stays on there. Sometimes looking like Neosporin or triple antibiotic, or whatever they call that. And I put that on there. The Bible is balm. So when you're wounded, you stay in your Bible and you read the Psalms and you realize that David was wounded more than once by people. Deep. And he had to heal. The third thing about a wound healing is you don't want to pick it. Once it starts to scab over, the last thing you want to do is pick at it. If you pick at it, it breaks open, and you got to start the process all over again. You don't pick at it. So in order to let a wound heal, you've got to leave it alone. You can't always be turning it over and thinking about it and turning it over and turning it over and reliving it and turning it over and reliving it and rehearing it and re-this and re-that. It's just picking at a scab that's trying to heal. Leave it alone. Confess whatever needs to be confessed. Put some Bible in your heart from the book of Psalms and then leave it alone. Let that wound heal. You do not want to leave this life with a wounded spirit toward anybody. Recently, I got wounded not too long ago. I'm not above that. I didn't know what it was. I really didn't. But I started having these uncharacteristic emotions and just acting different. What in the world? Where did this come from? And in reflecting on it and just searching my heart, the Holy Spirit said to me, "You're wounded. Admit it." We like to think we're bigger than that. We like to think we're tougher than that, especially as men. The Spirit of God said, "Admit it. That group wounded you. That person's wounded. Admit it." And I began to let the Spirit of God deal with me about it. And I began to search my heart, "Lord, in this matter, is there something that I need to confess to you, a spirit or an attitude? And if so, God, put your finger on it." And I began to read in the Bible and let the Bible be the balm and the salve that it is. And I finally got it out of my mind and got let it be. And thank God, wounds will heal. They do heal. And you want to be sure to let the wound heal. Life is too fragile, friend. When it's over, our opportunity to take care of it is gone. You can't go back and do anything about it. Life is over. So don't live with a wounded spirit. Life is too fragile. You, if you're wounded tonight, you can't heal. You can't get over it. Spirit of God can do the work through the Word of God that needs to be done. You'll have to do your part. But you can be healed from that wound. And life is too fragile to just continue on living with a wounded spirit. Too uncertain. If we could always predict the day of our home going, if we always knew when our appointed time would be, then maybe we could be a little relaxed about it. But none of us knows when we will meet with what Patty met with yesterday. So life is too fragile to live with a wounded spirit. I'm talking about wounded toward family. I'm talking about wounded toward friends. I'm talking about wounded toward co-workers. I'm talking about wounded toward anybody. Life is too fragile. Let me say number three, in light of the fact that we live one step from death, always let love rule the day. Always. Let love rule the day. Say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this. In the course of a family's life, there will be disagreements. There will be misunderstandings. There will be arguments. There will be contention. There will be conflict. There will be anger. You name it, it's going to happen in the family. It's going to take place. Families are not made up of perfect people. They're made up of human people. Every family relationship, all of those things will go on. Those things will pop up. They will stick their head up. But friend, because life is so uncertain, never let those things rule the day. In other words, let love prevail. Let love prevail. Let it rule. At the end of the day, love should rule. No husband and wife should ever go to sleep mad. That's the truth. I didn't say don't go to bed angry, because that happens. But before you drift off into sleep, the issue needs to be resolved between husband and wife. At the end of the day, love ought to rule. Instead of arguing, misunderstanding, and contention, and conflict, and sleeping on either side of the bed, and a cold atmosphere in the room where it ought to be warm, in the relationship where it ought to be warm. Let love rule the day. Husbands, when it's all said and done, let love rule the day. Now, I don't know how this has affected you. Man, I'll tell you what. I don't know what I would do if I was in Bob's shoes tonight. I don't know what I'd do. That young lady sitting out there, I have no guarantee that we'll live past this. She'll be here by this time next week. I don't anticipate that. And I won't live in fear of that this week, but life is uncertain. I don't want anger to rule. I don't want misunderstandings to rule. They pop up. They happen. Conflict, it comes. We're two people. We're human. I don't want it to rule the day. Before the head hits the pillow in sleep, let love rule the day. Husband with your wife. Wives, how about your husband? He goes off to work. You certainly don't want to let him go off to work with anger and misunderstanding and conflict ruling. When he gets home, you make sure that love rules the day. Parents, how about those kids? They test you, they try you, get on your nerves, test your patience. Let love rule the day. And children, let me talk to you just for a moment. You're sitting down the pew from Dad tonight. You're sitting down the pew from Mom. Sometimes you take their presence for granted. You say, but Dad, Mom, you let love rule the day. All disagreements, all arguments, all contentions, all conflicts, by the close of the day, they should be resolved. When you put your head on the pillow, kiddos, it ought to be with an I love you, Dad. I love you, Mom. I don't believe you can say I love you too often to a family member. I don't think you can say it too often. When you're walking out the door, when you're ending a phone conversation, anywhere, anytime, it's appropriate and healthy. I love you. Love you, son. Love you, Dad. Love you, honey. Love you, Dad. Love you, babe. Love you. Love you. Sir, that would be right. Love you. Love you. Love you. Love you. Church member, don't take each other for granted. Conflicts come in a church membership. We're all people, humans. Just like disagreements and conflicts arise in families, they arise in church families as well. When it's all said and done, let love rule the day. Let love rule the day. I don't think Patty LaRue had an enemy in this church. She's that kind of person. All of us loved her. You want to be that kind of church member. Always let love rule the day. Number four. Walk slowly through the crowd. That's not original with me. John Kennedy told that to Jackie. Might have been as they got off the Air Force One down in Dallas. Walk slowly through the crowd. Don't go too fast. Touch people. Talk to people. Let people see you and extend a hand and shake yours. I just say tonight, don't be in too big a hurry to touch people. Don't be in too big a hurry to touch each other here at church. I'm not talking about hugging and all that business and carrying on. I'm talking about with a word, with a smile, with a handshake, with a nod of the head, if nothing else, with eye contact. Walk slowly through the crowd, folks. Don't be in a hurry to leave tonight, or Wednesday night, or next Sunday. And I know people have places to go and things they got to get to. And some of these guys get up before way the crack of dawn to go to work. But I'm going to tell you something. We may never meet just like this again. You never know. So you want to walk slowly through the crowd. I said this morning, I am so thankful. I am so thankful. And God just did this for me. I'm so thankful, as Patty was sitting right back there on Wednesday night, I'm so thankful that in the hustle and bustle of a busy church service, I just stopped for 20 seconds probably. So how you doing? always, I'm fine. Good to see you. Everything okay? Yes, sir. I don't know what we said. Just we make probably 20 seconds. I'm so glad I had that 20 seconds. Amen. You just never know. But we won't meet like this again, so walk slowly through the crowd. Never leave your spouse without saying goodbye. Don't ever do that. Life is too fragile to carry a wounded spirit. Be ugly toward people. Let love rule the day and walk slowly through the crowd. Why? Because I live under a cloud. I'm pessimistic and gloom and doom and just waiting for the other shoe to drop, the proverbial saying. No, I'm not going to live like that. But I'm going to live with reality. There's just a step between me and eternity. Just a step. So I'll say goodbye to my wife. And I'll make sure wounded spirits get healed. And I'll try to let love rule the day. Slowly through the crowd. Amen. That's it. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening tonight. My dear Father in heaven, the availability to come into your presence these last 36 hours has sure been a blessing. The opportunity to come into your throne room, the God of all comfort, and find the comfort that our hearts need has been most helpful. Dear Father, thank you for the group of people you put in this street corner. Thank you for those who are strong. Thank you for those who are weak. Thank you, Lord, for the grizzled veterans of Christianity. Thank you, God, for the newborn babes. Thank you for every color of skin, for every level of education, for every place in the realm of finances represented by the people in this room tonight. Thank you for allowing us to be together here. Dear Father, you took a very special one from us and from a family yesterday. We trust you. We even worship you in these hours. God, may it change us a little bit for the better. May we not take such relationships for granted. Oh God and Heavenly Father, thank you for a place called heaven. Thank you for salvation in Jesus. Thank you that we know where our sister is tonight. Just pray, O Lord, that you'll help each one of us to prepare our hearts to live an even greater way for you. May this event be a stepping stone, not a stumbling block, especially for the family. And I see Janet sitting back there tonight, Terry and Travis. The other kids who were here this morning, Rachel, Lord, help them all. Bob and his family. Bless them in a very special way. Bless our thoughts tonight in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity because I've never given my trust, my faith to Jesus Christ. Never come to Him trusting in His death, His burial, His resurrection alone, plus nothing and minus nothing for salvation. I do not know if I left this world suddenly, as the dear lady did yesterday, I don't know where I would spend eternity. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand tonight if that's you? Let me ask God's help on your life. Anybody from front to back, side to side, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If you've been saved, never been scripturally baptized, we invite you to come tonight. Follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Be obedient to the Savior in that command. Maybe God spoke to your heart through the events of the last 30 hours or so, 36 hours. Maybe God will use this in your heart make some changes about taking things for granted. Life is fragile. We don't live doom and gloom pessimism, but we live reality. Make every day count. Every relationship count. Has God spoken to your heart about it tonight? Don't be tough. Don't be hard. Be tender. Pliable. The best place to be that way is at an old-fashioned altar. If you need to visit for a few moments tonight, we'll have an invitation. Let's stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Ladies and gentlemen, would you play?